And in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some of the reasons why we should yield ourselves to the Word of God. That's for our benefit, amen? Does anybody have a lighter in here? I forgot my lighter. You get one? Okay. You got a candy bar too?
Hey, and it's America.
Wow, math? Now, Brother Darrell, let me pick on you this morning, brother. Okay. Now, I want you to, turn around, okay? Now. Well, watch this, okay? Now, do you want to back up or go forward?
Forward.
Okay, let's go forward. Just take your time. Well, why do you keep going forward? What's the matter, huh? Okay, stop. Let's trade places now, okay? No, I'm not giving you life. Now, here we go. Now, here, get back here. Okay, now. You want to back up or go forward? Why don't you want to back up? Now, you want to walk into it or away from it?
Away from
it. Okay. You see how easy that was for Darrell? He knew. He saw it. Right? Ouch. And you knew that you didn't want to back up. Because if you backed up, you're going to get burnt. Mm-hmm. You knew if you turn around, you're going to walk into it. That motivated you to keep going away from the flame. Amen? Okay. In the like manner, that's where the Word of God is for us. If we look at what is kind of hot. Have a seat. That's what God tries to do for us. You know, we talk about hell. And we talk about some of the attributes of hell, which we'll look at here in just a second. But he gives that to us to motivate us not wanting to go to hell. Amen? But the thing of it is, I mean, we don't have that flame hitting us in the butt right now, do we? You know? Ooh. I mean, if he had an angel falling around us with a torch, we would never go backwards, would we? But, you know, we start walking around, we think about hell, we think of some of the attributes of hell. You know, we don't think about being separated from God for eternity. We think a lot about the flames and the gnashing of teeth and where the worm never dies and just a torment. And, you know, it's kind of bad, but we can take torment and relate it to your work, can't you? You know, you know, work is pretty bad. I'm tormented there all the time, man. But, you know, I survive that every week. I make it to the weekend. So sometimes we take that torment and we think about, well, hell ain't going to be that bad. You know, if I can survive working for GE or Edmonds or AK Steel, if I can survive with what, that can't be that bad. And so we take the things of this world that we're in, the physical, and we allow at times to dilute the Word of God. We try to take God's illustrations of what eternity is like and what hell is like, and we try to fit it into the life that we live here on earth. And we think, man, if I can survive this life here, hell can't be that bad. But it can be that bad, amen? It can be worse than that. And we look at God's Word, and you know, hell was never created for us. Do you know that? It was created for the angels. But in my notes here this morning, as we continue this morning to look at how God loves us, by looking at all the warnings He is giving us and the signs that keep us from falling to Satan's trap, we see a lot of stuff going on in this world today. And it isn't good, but it was told to us that this kind of stuff would happen as we near the coming of the Lord. Again, these are His warning signs to us. Number one, we talked about before about the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors and ISIS and being persecuted. Okay? He sees it says this is some of the signs of my return. Then we look at the Word of God and we see the things that happen if we don't yield ourselves to Him. And it's not that God will send anybody to hell. Understand that. Men choose to go to hell because they choose not to follow the Lord. God is a loving God. We're just saying that God is love. Love lifted me. And the love of God that He is lives in us. And He wants us to exercise that with those around us. He wants, number one, for us to be encouraged to continue in our walk with the Lord. And that is being right standing with the Lord, being justified with the Lord. It means turning away from sin, not entertaining sin at all. You know, it's just like my wife right now. She left the window open Wednesday night when she went to bed. She knew better than that. She has allergies. But she's hot. She put the window open. And what came through the window? Her allergies. She knew that, okay? And she'll tell you that. It's the same with our lives today. If we allow Satan into him just a little bit, he'll come in and he brings destruction. He brings separation. He brings distortment between marriages or families. All kinds of stuff. He'll come in and destroy what God established in our lives. What we must do is never become weary and never start to compromise our walk with our Lord. You know, the verse that we have been looking at and we're looking at today, I hope they encourage us not to leave from the righteous path Christ has placed us on. Just like Daryl was going down the hall there a minute ago with a flame on his hind end. It kept him motivated. Okay, he might got tired, but he knew what was going to happen. He turned around. What would happen if he turned around and walked toward? He got burnt, would he not? Everyone agree he would have got burnt? Okay. In the same way as what God is telling us, if we turn away from the Lord, if we choose not to follow him, we will get burnt in the flames of hell. We don't want that. You know, sometimes we think we're all alone in this battle that we have. But if you have your Bibles, but if you turn to Revelation 12, verse 4, I'll show you a couple of things to this battle you're going through, and we'll get back on our other verses. But sometimes we think that Satan is more powerful, that Satan can do. We have no hope because of the battle he brings against us or our family. Maybe some of your families are going through a bunch of stuff right now. Maybe a lot of separation, or maybe a lot of heartache. Family members aren't talking to one another. That goes through. But that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come in and destroy our lives. He'll bring lies into our house. He'll take the Word of God and distort it. He'll take the way I just looked at Joe Cooker, and Joe will say, oh, that pastor looked at me pretty mean. And then Joe will be mad at me. And that's what Satan wants to do. He just wants to get to know. He just has to. All I have to. That little lighter I had. All I have to. One little spark. Catch the bottom of your shirt on fire. That's all I got to do. And you're going to take off running and you're going to burn. That's all Satan has to do in our own lives. Just one little spark. One little thing in our life to deceive us. One little lie to plant in our mind. Or distortion of the truth. Just get that into our head. And we'll take it from there, won't we? Many times we'll just run with it. Oh, Dolores said this, and next thing we know, Dolores is a communist flying jets over Afghanistan or whatever. I don't know, Dolores. But that quickly, Satan can get his hands on us by using our mind. But in Revelation 12, chapter 4, read 4, and it goes down through 9. It shows us, and it's speaking about Satan here, that when he was tossed down from the heavens, when he sinned against God, a third of the angels came with them. Okay? A third of the angels came down with Satan, cast down out of heaven. And they're now what the demons that we fight with every day. But that means two-thirds of the angels are still with God. Amen? That's two-thirds that's for us, one-third that's against us. Remember that. He tells us in Psalms 91:11. That he has angels dispatched around us to watch over us. His angels. Now we're talking angels are creatures between 9 and 15 feet tall. They've been described many times that way. Greater he is for you than he that's against you. And this thing that you're going through today, man, we have the victory. We have the strength. We have the greatest army fighting for us. That's the army of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, and I'll just bring it together for you. It talks about a prophet speaking about they're surrounded. The enemy is at the door. The enemy's coming in. The enemy is great. Man, there's thousands of the enemy coming after them. And they're scared to death. What can we do? We'll be defeated. And the prophet speaks. He says, listen, there's more for us than against us. And he stepped outside and he asked the Lord to give insight to his friend to see the armies of the Lord. And God allowed him to see into the spiritual realm. And there were angels. The fiery chariots surrounded the whole place. They outnumbered the enemy 2-1. 2-1. They had victory that day. The enemy was defeated because of God. Our lives today, remember that. If you can see in the spiritual realm right now, you would see the angels in here listening. The angels praising the Lord. You see, the angel has been assigned to you there waiting to be dispatched by the Lord to protect you, to watch over you, to keep you safe. Now, on the angels, we don't dispatch the angels. I don't say, Michael over here and Joseph over here. Okay? As we are obedient to the Word of God, and we follow the Word of God, it allows God to have His angels to watch over us and to protect us. Remember that, guys. It's so important. Come here, Brother Joe. Pick on you for a while. Turn around a second. Okay? Joe is in compliance right now with the Word of God. Man, he's just following the Lord, aren't you, man? You love him, okay? I'm going to borrow your cane. I'm your angel. I'm sorry. He got stuck, yeah. There I am. I have been. As long as he follows the Word of the Lord, as long as he allowed Jesus Christ to be his Savior and Lord, God will send me forth as a hedge of protection around him to keep him back. Boom, 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 okay? Or to minister to him. Or feed you. Cause food to come. I'll do anything that God tells me to do. Okay? But when you decide to step out away from the Lord and do things your own way, or you're doing things your own way, even if you think they're God's way, but they're not His way, but you do them anyway, what happens? It ties me. So now we're like this. You're out there, you're doing something. Daryl, come on, hit Joe, will you? Don't really hit him, but you know what I'm saying? No, stand right there a second, okay? I'm back here. I know what's going to happen. I'm standing there waiting for Joe to call out. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, back in my life. But he don't. And go ahead. Just act like you're going to hit him. Just touch his shoulder, okay? There. I can't do nothing. I am bound because of disobedience. Okay? Now, what would Joe do? Joe would say, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm in church about every Sunday. I give tithes and offering. I'm telling you what. What's it good? Does it do? Man, I just got punched. I just got taken care of. I just got bandaged up. I just lost this. I lost that. Blame everyone. Blaming God. He stopped back and Joe realized, oh, wait a second. I stepped out of a relationship with Christ. Man, I allowed bad thoughts come in my mind. I allowed sin back into my life. God, forgive me. Lord, I forgot I should have never did that. Oh, man. And as he repents with the Lord, man, right back in right standing of the Lord, then, next time something comes his way, the angel of the Lord can be there to defend. We have ministering angels and we have warring angels, you will see in the Bible. And they are designed to protect us and to help us as long as we are in agreement with the Lord. And too many times we step out, we get back into what we call the flesh. We start doing things our way. We start saying things our way. We start doing things our way. And we fall out from the grace of the Lord and we want to blame Him for the way our life is. And it's us. We have to recognize that. Always do a check in your life. Always make sure, God, am I pleasing to you? Am I following what you want me to do? You know, something in your life going on right now, and you say, I don't know what's going on, why is it happening? Just stop. Ask God. God, show me. Is this attack of the enemy coming against me? Or God, have I fallen out? Have I got back in the flesh? Am I doing things my way and not your way? And I'm telling you, as you ask the Lord, He'll show you that. He'll say, well, Joe, you got pretty mouthy the other day, you know, when you did this and did that, you know, you want to do it your own way. Or, another good thing that you have, Joe, you got a mouth. Okay, oh, I don't mean that in a bad way. But you can speak. If Joe would say, well, I guess I'll go probably down the street today, I'll probably get mugged. Okay, well, and listen, I mean, that's funny, but I'm his angel. Oh, okay, well, he's going down the street today and get mugged. Go ahead and mug him. Good, I got you mug him. Okay. Well, listen, I'm standing here as an angel. Okay, he just spoke out. Well, I'll probably go down the street and get mugged. So, okay. I'm tired. Now, if Joe say, okay, Lord, I got to go down the street today. It's dark out there. Put your angel around me, Father, and keep me from getting mugged. All right, man, I can do what I want to now. See what I'm saying, guys? You follow me? Your words have power. And I don't care. That's why even if you're in the darkest room, whatever you say is not quiet. There's always someone around you. And the angel's been assigned to us. And if we get in the room and you start talking negative, you ever get in the room, just start venting? Yeah, we all probably do. Well, as you come through, realize, God, I'm just venting. God, I didn't mean that what I said. I'm not mad at you, God. I'm the one that did it. I shouldn't have done that. You love me. I know you care for me. God, forgive me. Father, just watch over me. Strengthen me. Help me continue this walk I have with you. You're speaking words out there now, and you're allowing God to allow what He's given you, and that's protection to His angels, to operate in your life. But when you start talking negative, I take my orders as an angel from the Lord, okay, and through the Word of God. When you speak His Word, I can operate. But when you don't speak it, you tie the hands. And a lot of time it happens in our lives. We tie the hands of those that God sent to help us, and then we wonder what happens. Native speaking, not yielding ourselves to the Word of God, that all has a place in our life. It all can be detrimental to us. Nothing small. And we shared that last week, remember? I might be able to go someplace and get out of it. But I told you last week, dream I had, I got out of the ghettos. My wife didn't. Because I went where I could get out of, but not my wife. And I cost her something. That's the same way our lives today. Amen? You want that? I don't think so. Yeah, you have a seat. Thank you. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, you'll see where the angels of the Lord were dispatched to Daniel. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Amen? Remember that? He would not bow to a false god. He chose to worship God. He chose to praise God. So I'm not. And the king threw Daniel into the lion's den to shred him apart. But Daniel was following God. And God dispatches angels, and they close the mouth of the lions. And the next morning, when they went to pick up Daniel's body, shredded body or his bones, he was sitting there, giving God the glory and God the praise. That's the same God that we serve today. That is the same God that we worship. He hasn't changed. And God tells us He is not a respecter of persons. We follow Him. We surrender to Him. Man, He'll watch over us too. Things happen to us. I know that. And more things are happening to us. But God will watch over us. He'll give us strength to do what He's called us to do. It's like any military personnel. You're put into a war and you're assigned to do certain duties. And once that job has been done, they take you out, don't they? You're assigned for a certain period of time. Whether it's 2 years, 4 years, you might have one mission, Joe. They drop you in there and you're supposed to do this, take this out. And once you're done, they can take you home. And you're always glad to go home, aren't you? Yes, sir. Amen. Always glad. It's the same way our lives are with the Lord. This is a spiritual battle we're fighting. We've all been assigned a portion of that war to fight spiritually. And once we accomplish what God's called us to do, for Him taking us home to heaven is our reward. To us, we think sometimes it's, wow, it's, what happened? What happened to him? Kathy, boy, he's been serving God. He's on fire. Why did he die? You ever think that? But in God's eyes, for a Christian, it's not dying. He brought us home. He took us out of this battle. We accomplished the task that He wanted us to do. And many times we see in the Bible, some are 30 years old. Look at John the Baptist. We'll study him. Remember Thursday night Bible study. He's young. Jesus himself, 33 and a half years old. Then we had some of the older fellows like Adam, Noah, Joe Cooker. And we had a lot of them, that go longer. But see, you got to realize that my calling isn't your calling. And my time on earth as a follower of the Lord is my days are to govern by Him. And you can't look at me and think, wow, I don't want to be a preacher. Starkey ended up to be 37 years old when He called him home. But we had to look at God's way. God wants us to allow Him to work through us to reach the lives of the lost and encourage one another. This is nothing right here today compared to what we have. Eternity in heaven. This ISIS thing that's going on, I mean, it's going to increase more. Still got to remember that greater are those for us than those that are against us. But we have to use wisdom when we enter a battle. Amen? Amen. But Daniel's, the lions were closed. And Daniel, I told you Daniel 10, but I got to rephrase that. Daniel 6 with the lion's mouth being closed. Daniel 10 is when Daniel fasted for 21 days. Remember? And the angel appeared. And what took him so long that he had to fight the prince of Persia. So we have warring angels. We have ministering angels that watch over us. Prayer and fasting is one of the greatest battle weapons that we have. That is a weapon we have in the name of our Lord. And when things are going your way, you're not going your way, prayer and fasting is the way to go. Prayer and fasting. Fasting strengthens us. Fasting will help tear down the strongholds around those with us. Fasting is and praying is like a spiritual muscle builder. Makes our prayer stronger. Why does it, Pastor? Well, I believe the reason fasting does because it was food that took us out of the garden. It was food that destroyed us in the garden. Amen? And God says, okay, give up the food and I'll strengthen you. I'll bring your power back to you. I believe that's one of the reasons God has fasting as part of the requirements to be a Christian. Now, it's not asking you to pray and fast. Jesus tells us as a Christian to pray and fast. Amen? Okay. Hebrew 1 verse 14 talks about the ministering angels. And that's what he says, that some angels aren't all angels ministering. So the angels that God's given us are there for us to help us. And we saw also in Acts 12 that Peter was escorted out of prison by an angel. Was he not? And what was the church doing when he got escorted out? You remember the church was all together and they were praying? They were all having church all night long. They were praying, interceding for Peter. And that strength allowed the angels to penetrate into the prison. And the chains were cast off of Peter. And he was released. The same angels are still here today. Angels have not been multiplied and they have not lost. We still have the same available to us today. And again, like he said, Psalms 91:11 says the angels have been assigned to us to watch over us. And Ephesians 6:12 tells every one of us here that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting powers and principalities, rulers of high places. When you look at someone, you just can't stand them, what they're doing. You're looking at the flesh, but it's something in the spiritual realm that they're listening to, that they're following. Okay? God created every one of us in His image through Adam and Eve. He loves every one of us the same. But we choose what we allow in our life. We choose whether we'll listen to the Word of God or we'll listen to Satan. He's been cast out. In Zechariah 4:6, he tells us that not by might, the Lord says this, not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit, says the Lord. By His Spirit. The same Spirit that comes live into us as the born-again Christian. Through prayer and fasting, we can tear down the strongholds. A lot of times we try to do things in the flesh. And it doesn't work. Our fight we have is a spiritual fight. Matthew 25, 41. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus is speaking. And it's a parable. He said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. But what he tells us, he informs the church, he informs the whole world. So the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell has been prepared for Satan and the fallen angels. It was never prepared for us. Understand that. God did not create hell in order to throw His creation into us humans. It was for the fallen angels. A lot of times people say, well, God is a loving God. Why did he create hell to put us in? He did not create hell for you and me. He created it for Satan when he fell. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they took the authority God gave them and they surrendered it to Satan when they fell into sin. And because of our sin nature, we're headed to hell. Everyone who is born in sin. We have the sin nature. You know, can you ever imagine this? Well, I said it before, that when God created us, your kids would never mouth off to you. Amen? You know that? Your kids would never tell you no. They would never, they'll never disobey you. At 3 years old, okay, mommy, just one cookie. Okay. Yes, daddy, I'll pick my clothes up. They would never disobey us. We would never disobey ourselves. But because sin came into the world, man, we are born in sin. That's why Jesus says we must be what? Born again. Born of the Spirit. The Spirit that God breathed into us when he created Adam and Eve, it died when they sinned. And we need to be born again for that Spirit to come back into our life. And that Spirit gives us strength. That Spirit keeps us from going to hell. Why we go to hell? Because we choose to follow Satan and not God. Understand that. He's a loving God. He loves us so much that last week and this week, we're looking at what hell is like. Now, this thing, if God didn't love you, would he tell you what hell's like? He'd sit back, oh, I got another one. Oh, I got another one. I got Joe fooled this time. Yeah, Joe Crooker. But God don't want none of us in hell. He tells us. It's like me following Daryl around, okay? Daryl didn't want to get burnt. He saw the flame. Now, I could have snuck up behind Daryl. Boy, torch you pretty good. Oh, what was that? You know? You thought that pastor's pretty mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you guys think so? If I caught his pants on fire, I didn't tell him I was going to do it. You think I was pretty mean? But what did I do first? I told him, looky, Daryl. There's a flame. Looky, Daryl, if you back up, you're going to get burnt. Hey, Daryl, if you turn around, you get burnt. Isn't that out of love? The flame's there, right? But I told him about it beforehand. Walk this way, Daryl, you'll be okay. That's out of love. If I did not love, I would have lit his pants on fire and never told him, sat back there and laughed. And God's the same way with us. He loves us so much, he tells us about the flames of hell. He tells us about the things that take place in hell out of love. Hopefully enough to encourage us to repent from our sins, receive forgiveness, and follow him. Amen? Amen. That's what he wants. That's why I showed Daryl the flame. I didn't want him to back up. You know, I didn't want to light the flame and say, hey, Daryl, I'm going to run into it and catch on fire. Amen, Daryl? And God's the same way. When people say, well, if they're loving God, why do you send people to hell? He doesn't. Now, the second part, it comes on our shoulders. If you're a born-again Christian, you should have that desire to share that with other people about hell, about God's love. Think of that. You know it's real. He wants us to share it. Out of love, okay? I'll get no way... nowhere looking at Kathy Kirk and saying, come to hell! Come to Jesus! You know, if you never met me, I'd scare. Now, it's something I get pretty fired up in here once in a while. But to meet you as a stranger, would that draw you to the Lord? And that'd scare you to death. You'd just get to hell a little quicker, wouldn't you? I'd scare you to death. Okay? But when we take time to explain that to them, and some people are. The point that they don't want to hear you at times. They are so dead set in their way of thinking that God's terrible, that God hates people, that he's a, and you just gotta love him more. You gotta love him in your actions. You gotta love him in your understanding. And piece by piece, you're penetrate. But hell was designed for the fallen angels. But since we have fallen in sin, that's where we're headed towards. Unless, out of love that God has for us, we receive that forgiveness of our sins. The cross of Christ shows us what the wages of sin is death. Christ, who never sinned, died for us. He became that one sacrifice that got rid of our sins. All we have to do is receive Him and receive eternal life. To follow Him. Turn away from our sins. In Revelations 20:10, go to the right here. It says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And that's where we're all going. People say, "Well, you don't go to hell forever." You know what? They're right. You don't go to hell forever. When you die without Christ, you go to hell until judgment day. The white throne judgment is after the millennium reign. Then when you're judged, you're cast into the lake of fire, which is worse than hell. Forever, ever, and ever. Now, some people say, well, hell don't last forever. You go for a while and you get out. Some people even tell you, well, you go to a timeout for a while. It's not there. Okay? You don't go to a timeout for 3 or 4 years. The Lord, she's pretty good. So we're going to send you a place called Purgatory for 3 or 4 years. And then we'll let you out and give them heaven. You can't find that in Scripture. Okay? Roy? Ron? Pray me into heaven. You know, let's pray for my grandpa. He passed away. Well, he's pretty ornery. Let's pray him that. We can't do that. Steve, you cannot give me a handful of money to get you. No, I'm telling you though. But that is some of the thinking that some of the churches. And that's not true. I tell you, go to Scripture. Show me Scripture on that. Always go and show me Scripture where you can pray me into heaven when I'm dead. And you show me that. We'll tell Jesus Christ He didn't have to die on the cross. Amen? Show me that. Show me where I go to time out for 3 or 4 years. Jesus said, either for me or against me. John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's either heaven or hell. If I die today as a Christian, I'll be in the presence of the living God. If I die rejecting Christ, I go to hell. I know it's a grim reality, but folks, it's true. It's true. And only God truly knows a man's heart. Amen? God is the judge. And we'll let Him be the judge. Amen? But I ask you today, whatever has you motivated, make sure whatever you're following, you find it in the Word of God. If you have to leave the Word of God and go to the book of Starkey, you're in trouble. If you have to place your salvation, your eternity in heaven, outside the Word of God, if the way that you get to heaven, you find it over here in another transcript. If you look over there and say, well, according to Starkey or Buck Hara, they're in trouble, ain't they, Buck? Okay? Whatever the book you might have been going through throughout your life, that's not the Word of God. Man, look at it. Jesus tells us to be deceivers coming in the end times. People want to find an easier way to get to heaven. I mean, how much easier can you get? Repent from your sins and receive it. Amen? But people want to find an easier way to get to heaven without repenting from their sins. And there's no way of doing it. You know, I used to get mad. Oh, you want to get me fired up? Nobody wants to get me fired up? Can anyone get me fired up? Yeah, I love my mom and dad. Praise God, I was raised in church. But if I would go to a church service and someone would say anything against the Catholic religion, I was done. Bam! Come on. Because they came against me. If they would say, well, Starkey, just look in the book. Look in the Bible. Show me these things. I would have looked. But I was ready to fight. It's like speaking against my family. Talk against my mom and dad. I'm going to fight. But if they would just say, well, Starkey, show me this. It was 20 years after I left the church before I started looking. I couldn't find these things. And I don't care where you're at today. I mean, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, all. If you have to leave the Word of God to find your place in heaven, you're going to the wrong book and you're studying under the wrong person. God's never changed. And it's awesome that He doesn't change. But hell is real. And some religion teaches it is nothing. That once you're dead, you're expired. They quote, oh, I just lost my train of thought. Help me out. Solomon. when he was depressed. And I think the book of the Ecclesiastics, he was depressed. Oh, what's the difference? There's no difference between a man and an animal. When you're gone, you're gone. You just expire. And people just grabbed that and they made a whole religion. And I'm sorry, I can't tell you. It's one or the other I'm thinking of here. It's either Mormons or the Seven or Jehovah's Witnesses. Who is it? That's the same one, okay. But they base it all upon one scripture that he wrote when he was depressed. That's awesome. You read the Bible, it shows you when the good times and the bad times. If the Bible wasn't real, it'd all be good times, would it not? If I was going to write to you about how great I am, I'd tell you all the good things I've done in my life. I wouldn't write of all the time that I sinned, would I? But the Bible does. The Bible shows us when they are on top and when they are on bottom. Show them that they were human. So again, you got to look at your who you're following. You got to look at the Word of God. And if you're leaving that Word of God in order to find salvation, to be with Him for eternity, you're going the wrong way. But hell was designed. It's real. It's going to happen. It's already here today. It's not something God has to create. Hell's already been created for all the fallen angels and those who choose to reject Christ and go to hell. And in Revelation 20:15, it says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into where? The lake of fire. Written in the book of life. It didn't say if anyone's found not to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist or what else we have out there. Okay, it didn't say that. Okay? It says those whose name weren't written in the book of life. Those who weren't born again. Receive the life that Christ gives us. I always laugh because I tell people there won't be any Baptists in heaven. And there won't be any Catholics either. Won't be the Methodists. Just Christians. We will have no labels in heaven. You might belong to the Fifth Baptist Church or the Third Removed of the I don't know. But in heaven, Kathy, there ain't going to be no labels, is there? No. No, just Christians. Those have been born again. And we got born again believers and Catholics and Methodists and Baptists and non-denomination. All that are receiving Jesus Christ. Heaven's going to be pretty well populated with everyone who loves the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But lake of fire is real. I want to share one more verse with you today. And since we're in Revelation, go to 14:11. Chapter 14. I'm going to read 9 down to 11. So, and another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also would drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they will have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of the beast. Again, he's talking about eternal punishment for those who will not receive forgiveness of their sins. Isn't that sad? They won't turn away from their sins. They won't receive the forgiveness that God's offered them through Jesus Christ. And folks, that is love. That is love. People say, well, if there's a God of love, well, why did he wipe them out? What did he ever say? What did he ever say? I wish I'd never made them. Disobedient. It broke his heart. Breaks God's heart to see what his creation was bringing upon them. It broke his heart. He said, I wish I'd never made him. Why? He did not want to see humans go through the wrath that was coming. He didn't want to see humans who were being deceived by Satan to go through the wrath. And man, I wish I never made them because I know they're going to enter into eternity of torment. So I wish I never made them. Well, God remedied everything that man did in sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. Man, Everything. We don't have to worry about going to hell if we receive the forgiveness, Steve. You know that? He says, if you acknowledge me and receive my forgiveness in front of your friends, follow me, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. The Lamb's Book of Life, Ron. When we get born again, when we acknowledge Him and receive Him and we are baptized, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that book we just opened up. He just said that your name isn't located here. But if it is there, man, heaven. Heaven. So we close this morning. I'll ask you, where are you at today? Are you in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you received the forgiveness of your sin? And don't try to compare yourself to me. You might be sitting there and say, well, Pastor, I'm better than you are. Well, praise God that you are. We have to look at the mark, and that's Jesus Christ. Have you sinned? Have you fallen short of the glory of God? Is there sin in your life that you just won't surrender? That, man, Ron, I'm not going to repent, but I'll just give an extra $1,000 today to the preacher. I'll take that, but it won't get you to heaven. It's every one of us, one-on-one, will stand before God. As a born-again Christian, you'll stand at the Bema Seat Judgment. He'll look at all the things you've done on earth in His name. But for us who reject Him, we'll stand at the White Throne Judgment and answer for every time we turn our back from Him. We might be a good person. You might give plenty of money to charities. You might give the shirt off your back, anything. It's good things to do, but it still doesn't get rid of that sin debt. It's kind of like this. You can give all the money you want to away today. But what happens if you don't pay Uncle Sam? There's a debt you got to reckon with, right? It's the same way with sin in our life. We can be the nicest people in the world. Jesus didn't say, well, become nice, Joe, and enter the kingdom of God. He says, be born again. Repent, turn away from our sins. Receive that forgiveness. And I ask you today, you're sitting here today, and I just ask you, if the Lord is touching your heart, you're saying, man, Pastor, I want that. I never asked Christ to forgive me my sin. I never asked Him into my life. I want that today. God says, just stand up where you're at today and ask Him to come into your life. Say, I want the forgiveness that You gave me at the cross. I want to be in right standing with You. I want to be with You in heaven for eternity. But also I want a relationship with you today. Isaiah tells us that sin in our lives closes the ears of God where He cannot hear. Be the greatest person on earth in man's eyes, but if you're carrying unforgiven sin, it closes the ears of God. You say, what does that matter, Starkey? Well, do you ever pray? Do you ever ask God? Do you ever talk to God? I never get an answer. Well, you got sin stuck in God's ears. You need to remove that. He wants to remove that. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can be the biggest barrier we have between us and our God. He says, listen, I'll forgive you. But in turn, we need to forgive one another. And we carry unforgiveness in our hearts. God can't forgive us. Maybe you're having trouble with unforgiveness today. Maybe there's something in your life you just, I can't let go. Ask them, be real with God. God, help me. If you're born again, say, God, help me. Help me get rid of it. You know what this person did to me, what they said to me, Ron? Help me, God. I want to be pleasing to You. Help me forgive them. It'll help you. But I can only start until you have a relationship with God. And that relationship can only start when we receive forgiveness of our sins. As I did 14 years ago. 14 years, Kathy, 8 months and 27 days. At 6:30 p.m. January 2nd. 2000. So again, if you want the Lord this morning, if you want Him to come into your life, if you want strengthen, stand up where you're at. And say, God, I surrender all to You. And don't be embarrassed of it. We all did it. Everyone who's born again has done it one time or another. If you have questions about salvation, you have questions about, well, Pastor, I went to this church for a while, I think I'm okay. Call me up. Come in, let's talk. You know, that's how I figure things out. Looking at Scriptures, talking. That's what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and be gracious to you. May He grant you peace. May you walk in the victory that He has given you. May the Holy Spirit rise up in you and give you joy. Joy unspeakable as we enter these days, knowing that He is coming, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, returning for His church. May we continue to be faithful and continue to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is awesome.